But they seized him and beat him, and they sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owners of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told them this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but feared the crowds. So they left him and went away. We're on a journey on our Wednesdays in Lent, the pathway to Palm Sunday. Pastor Greg started us off last Wednesday with the story from the triumphal entry, the story we usually read on Palm Sunday. And for tonight, Mark 12, we have a story that comes from this same week. The next story following the Palm Sunday story, the triumphal entry, where Jesus is in between entering Jerusalem and the Last Supper. And it's in this moment in which Jesus is out and being questioned by the authorities, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, those who are the powerful leaders of the Jewish temple, of the Jewish community, have come and they are questioning Jesus, questioning his authority about all. Don't steal my mic. Questioning his authority about all that he has done in his ministry on earth, questioning it, and asking him, "Why you? And who gave you this authority?" And so, in this line of questioning, Jesus tells this parable. Jesus begins to speak to them in this story. Or, Chris, do you want to switch me to the pulpit? On Sunday morning, I led worship holding her the entire service. She wouldn't let me set her down. But she wasn't talking on Sunday. So we get this parable. And this parable is what we are given today. This parable here is a man who owns a vineyard. The vineyard is what we could look back to our psalm reading, the vineyard that God planted representing the people of Israel, all of God's people, God's chosen ones. This man plants this vineyard, puts a fence around it, digs a pit for a wine press, puts in a wash tower. He gets this whole vineyard ready to go, ready to produce, and he goes and leaves the country, leaving it leased to tenants. These tenants then are charged with producing from this vineyard. Well, when it comes time for harvest, when it comes time that everything is ready to go, he sends a slave to go and collect the owner's share from the vineyard. But they take the slave and they beat him. They send him away empty-handed. They take a second slave. A second slave comes and he's beat and insulted. Another one comes and they kill him. Many more slaves are sent to collect the owner's share. Until finally the owner says, "They probably won't kill my son." So he sends his son as well. But this son is beat and killed. Because the tenants, each one of these slaves that are coming to collect their share, the tenants see that as some of their wealth, some of their power leaving them. They have to give up some of what they have to the owner, who is rightfully collecting his share. And the tenants are so power hungry, so wealth hungry, that they don't want to give it up. They are willing to beat, insult, kick out, and even kill for the sake of keeping what they have, keeping what is under their control, but not rightfully theirs. When the son comes, the owner thinks, "Well, they wouldn't kill my son." But the tenants see the son as the heir to the riches, as the one who will inherit this vineyard when the owner dies someday. And because he's the heir, They kill him, thinking that if he's out of the picture, then the tenants can inherit the vineyard and all of its wealth. So they take him, they kill him, and they kick him out of the vineyard. It is in the company of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders that Jesus tells this parable. And he tells this parable pointing directly at them. The tenants in this parable are collecting their wealth and resources, their control, their power, and securing for themselves their legacy. They want this land for themselves. They want all the wealth and power and control that comes with being the tenants of this vineyard, hoping to become the owners of this vineyard. But as Jesus is telling a parable, this man that planted the vineyard, the one that owns it, is God. And the son he sent that they killed is Jesus. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, they hear this parable and they immediately realize that he is talking about them, that he is naming them as the tenants, that Jesus is naming the chief priests, scribes, and elders as the ones who are willing to hoard resources, control, power, and wealth over living into God's will for them, over living into God's law for the people of Israel. These chief priests, scribes, and elders probably did not represent the entire Jewish population either. However, these chief priests, scribes, and elders that Jesus was calling out in this story were the church leaders who had sided with the Roman powers. These were church leaders who sided with authority that thought that keeping the peace meant placing a soldier on every street corner to prevent insurrection. The church leaders who sided with the Roman authorities, who sought wealth and power and growing the kingdom by any means possible. They had sided with the Roman ruling authority over siding with God's law. These church leaders that Jesus was calling out were ones who were leading the church in search of power and wealth over living how God had planned for the people of Israel to live. They were leading the church, they were leading God's people in a way away from caring for the sick, the poor, the elderly, and their neighbor. They had forgotten the ways of God, and Jesus was here calling them out, bringing them back to where they should be, to where they should be in listening to God and the ways of God's kingdom. I have issue with Constantinople. This is a deeply seated grudge that I hold, and I doubt he knows I hold it because, well, he's been dead for 17 centuries. Constantinople was, he was the ruler, I forget which kingdom, in the 3rd century in what is now modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. And why I have a grudge with Constantinople? Well, for multiple reasons. But Constantinople made Christianity the law of the land. Before Constantinople, Christianity existed, but the government did not make Christianity the law, did not say, you have to be Christian or we'll persecute you. Constantinople made Christianity the law of the land. But then he himself decided to rape and pillage just as he had done his whole life, only to be baptized on his deathbed so that he could be an evil ruler and still be saved. I also have an issue with him for that. My grudge with Constantinople is that he took Christianity to side with the powers that be. He said Christianity becomes the law of the land, which meant that Christianity then sided with wealth and power and control and legacy, exactly what this parable was warning against. It took Christianity away from being in the margins, away from being with the people who were the poorest and neediest, who were the sickest and in need of most care, and brought it to the power centers, the ones who ran the wars, who ran the countries, who were amassing the wealth and the power and creating their legacies. We see how this carries on through the church to today. As I look in the world around us, I see plenty of powerful authorities. There's power plays constantly happening in our world today. We have corporations and individuals who have amassed more wealth than any sovereign state in our world. What is that going to mean? That one individual could buy an entire country should it go up for sale? That is a massive amount of power that we have not seen before in our world. We have uses of military force at the highest level since World War II. We have federal agencies who are being accused of inhumane treatment of other people. We have world entities crying out violations of humanitarian law and war crimes being committed. And where is the church standing in this? Are we standing with the power and authority seeking wealth, control, and legacy? Is the church standing up with the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders that Jesus is calling out, seeking wealth and control by any means possible? But what are we willing to give up? If we give up the power center, if we give up seeking wealth and legacy, what do we gain? If we spend all of our time like the chief priests, scribes, and elders, looking to control and power, looking to control things and exert power over this world, then we spend our time being willing to beat, insult, and even kill others for the sake of growing in our power. But when we reject that, when we listen to what this parable is cautioning us about, we look to sit with those who are at the margins. We look to sit to be the kingdom of God that God is calling us to be. We look to be the people that are willing to love our neighbor at all costs, to love our neighbor through thick and thin, to sit with the sick, the imprisoned, the poor, and to advocate that each one of our neighbors live a fair and just and abundant life. Because when we love our neighbor, we show our love for God. For the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, it was too late for them to hear this message. But this parable challenges us. This Lenten season, as we're on our pathway to Palm Sunday, as we're walking through this Holy Week story, in questioning Jesus' authority, these chief priests, scribes, and elders are called out. They're called out as aligning themselves with the Roman powers and authorities. But we, who are we as the church? Where are we aligning ourselves? Do we as the church align ourselves with the powers and authorities that are in our world today? Do we join the competition for wealth and control and power and legacy? Or do we reject that and hear the call of Jesus to be with those who need the most love, the most care, who are put off to the side, mistreated and rejected, to sit there with our neighbor, to build God's kingdom here on earth, to love our neighbors and to share that love, because loving our neighbors is also loving God. Amen.